You're listening to 90.9 FM. It's your NPR member station on a Tuesday morning. This is WHYY. I'm Jennifer Lynn. Hello. The UK says it's suspending some arms exports to Israel, fearing British weapons could be used in violation of international law. We'll get to that story in about 30 minutes. That's next hour on Morning Edition. Again, a good morning. It is beautiful outside. Nice and cool. This so-called great sleeping weather that people talk about. It's 59 degrees. And maybe you're in bed still, taking in the news of the day, getting your day all ready and started. Well, thanks for tuning in. We're going up to 76 degrees. Today it's 5:43.
I'm Peter O'Dowd. One of the world's most devastating and ignored humanitarian crises is getting worse. In Sudan, a civil war grinds on and tens of millions have been displaced. Famine is looming. We'll talk with the U.S. envoy to Sudan, who's been negotiating for more humanitarian aid. That's next time on Here and Now.
Weekdays at 1 on WHYY.
Support for NPR comes from the station. And from American Jewish World Service, supporting human rights advocates worldwide in the fight for democracy, equity, and justice for all people. Learn more at ajws.org. From Eric and Wendy Schmidt, through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. And from the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn. Vaccines became a hot-button issue during the pandemic, a polarizing point of contention between neighbors, family members, and coworkers. It appears anti-vaccine sentiments have spilled over to all kinds of immunizations, including those required for kids to attend school. WHYY's Nicole Leonard looks at this attitude shift and where public health goes from here.
Pediatrician Dr. Alexis Lieberman walks into one of the exam rooms at AdvoCare Fairmount Pediatrics in Philadelphia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you guys?
Very good.
Kate Springer and Chris Glad are here with their six-month-old son, Oliver. After talking through Oliver's motor skills and language development, Lieberman moves on to the childhood vaccination schedule.
So we have the Hep B, the rotavirus. This is a combo vaccine that has DTaP, polio, Hib, Hep B, all in one.
Kate and Chris have decided that Oliver will also get vaccinated for COVID and the flu.
I think that's an excellent decision that you're making to give those to him. It doesn't keep you from getting those diseases, but it does keep you from having a bad case.
Kate tries to prepare her son, even if he can't really understand what's going on yet.
You gotta be honest, there's gonna be some shots and they're not gonna feel good. But it's only gonna be a second and then you're gonna feel better, okay?
Oliver's parents try to keep him as still as possible as a nurse gives him a shot in one leg and a second in the other.
Yep, just go ahead and hold him.
It's gonna pinch for a minute, okay?
Yeah, that hurt.
The bottom is gonna be his.
After the ordeal, Oliver quickly calms down, has a bottle in his parents' arms, and soon they're all headed home with another appointment already on the calendar for Oliver's second COVID vaccine. This scenario plays out every day in pediatricians' offices, but these days there's often a lot of discussion before the shots are administered. The pandemic has brought about an attitude shift around vaccines, says Allison Buttenheim, a professor of nursing and health policy at the University of Pennsylvania.
Some people came out of the COVID experience thinking, like, thank God for vaccines. Yay, I will, like, stand on the barricades to make this happen for folks. And some people are the opposite.
Buttenheim studies how beliefs, misinformation, communication, state legislation, and policy shape the way people perceive vaccines. She says the vast majority of people in the United States get shots for diseases like measles, polio, and meningitis in childhood as a required condition to attend school. COVID-19 vaccines, however, are optional in most places. Buttenheim says that's caused more parents and families to think about all vaccines as an a la carte menu, where they can pick and choose individual shots.
A lot of parents are just like, when I weigh the cost and benefit, it's not worth it. And oh, if I'm weighing the cost and benefit for the COVID vaccine, maybe I should do that for maybe, you know, the chickenpox, the varicella vaccine. Maybe that's one to skip, or MMR, you know, there, we really don't have that much measles. So that sort of pick and choose your own adventure approach. It was there before, and parents were making these kind of tailored, you know, customized, bespoke vaccination schedules. But there's more of that now.
Growing and persistent misinformation online, on social media, is also playing into people's decisions, hesitancy, and skepticism around vaccines, says pediatrician Dr. Paul Offit, who oversees the Vaccine Education Center at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. I caught up with him at a recent public health conference in Philly.
People will say, I've done my research and I've decided not to get this vaccine. But what does research really mean? Research really means just looking at other people's opinions on the internet.
Offit says false narratives around vaccinations, or bungled and confusing guidance on them, have caused a distrust in medical providers and have led to patients questioning their advice.
Try that message in the 21st century. Trust us, we're experts. Doesn't work.
And while the COVID-19 vaccines were a success in terms of coming to market quickly and preventing serious illness, Offit says efforts to mandate these shots in healthcare settings, workplaces, and elsewhere somewhat backfired.
It was just seen as another example of government overreach, and they pushed back. And now, legislatively, there's been pushback.
Some states are trying to push legislation that bans any COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Allison Buttenheim says some want to take it a step further and target all childhood school vaccination requirements.
Several states now have proposed bills to remove school entry mandates altogether. And I say that in my like big, scary voice, because that's a big, scary thing. Our school entry mandates for childhood vaccines are why we don't have high rates of measles, pertussis, why polio was eliminated.
But Buttenheim says there's a lot being done to figure out how to better address people's concerns around vaccines for themselves and their children, and how to tailor messaging in the exam room or doctor's office.
Even just framing vaccination is like, this is the default, this is the office policy, this is what we do. You don't ask about it. You don't say, okay, now it's time to talk about vaccines. Are you okay with the MMR? You just be like, okay, baby's due for 5 shots today. The nurse is going to come in, and the next thing we're going to do is we're going to give the baby vaccines. And then if you get pushback, then that's a signal that like, okay, we need to pivot here.
For now, immunization rates and protection against diseases like measles, mumps, and rubella remain high in states like Pennsylvania. But experts say they face challenges in improving vaccination coverage for other risky and harmful diseases circulating in our communities. Nicole Leonard, WHYY News.